the indomitable Joe Cocker with Feeling All Right. Well, I wasn't feeling all right yesterday, that's for sure. And but I'm feeling a lot better today. And that's why I am not under any circumstances going to miss Free Your Mind Friday. So thanks for joining me. It's Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories. Let me just describe what it is, the concept. On Free Your Mind Friday, we dispense with the regular programming format, and instead we become an open forum. And people are invited to express their point of view about any topic about which they have a considered opinion. It's not just for, you can pick up the phone and talk. That's not what that is. It is about training oneself to utilize a medium as efficiently as possible in order to communicate an idea or an opinion or to start a conversation. But you should have an opinion. It should be a recognizable opinion, a strong enough opinion. You pick your subject. And you should be able to demonstrate to us, listening to you, you're going somewhere with this. And quickly, you don't have an hour. All right? So you want to be very efficient at laying out your case. Why is this going on? It is because we have to be prepared to utilize media across the board as efficiently as possible in order to convey our points of view. Many other communities are quite efficient at doing that. Their members call, they insert their opinions in the mix, but we don't seem to think that it's important. It's very, very important. It's part of your education, your ongoing education, to know how to use a medium outlet and therefore how to get the best out of something that isn't going to cost you anything, by the way. It is about you expressing an opinion. I don't want us to just get the idea while you're on the phone. It suggests you're not preparing. And it's a very simple thing to prepare. You have an idea. You've noticed coverage of certain things. You have some reaction to it. And you have a different point of view. That's all you need. You use yourself as an alternative voice. So people can say, well, that makes sense, or I should look into that. So that is what this is. It's not just to get on the phone and talk. Idle talk is annoying, and I ain't even having it, as they say. You want to convey something. You want it to reflect that you have prepared to be on air, that you have prepared an opinion for us to consider. And that's the best way to use the time that you have. Again, you try to be as concise as possible. You go directly to your point. You give us an idea of I don't want to say research, because that sounds very daunting, but you should be able to incorporate what it is you are contesting. So you should be able to tell us what are the points that you are contesting that the other side has, okay? And finally, what we want to hear in Free Your Mind Friday is we want to see you grow. We want to see you develop these skills. This is not a joke. It's a very serious endeavor, and you ought to treat it like that, because this is what people pay a lot of money to go to universities to acquire some of these skills. So this is a good testing ground, and you would be doing good work in giving us a point of view about the issue you're talking about. Okay, so that's it. That's Free Your Mind Friday. Again, you use your time well. You write your points down so that you're not flailing all over the place and sounding disorganized. You make your points, and it is not, I repeat, it is not important, really, whether people agree with you or don't agree with you. It is important, though, that you make the point you intended to make and that you do so well. The number to call is 888-874-4888. We also have fun listening to each other and so forth, but it is an education. We are attempting to get people to understand this is not something to take lightly. You are getting exposure. You are reaching a lot of people all over the world. And so you want to be mindful that what you have to say is worth listening to and worth considering. Okay, that's enough. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what's on your mind today. What are you thinking? And why are you thinking what you're thinking? Again, we don't care whether people agree with you or disagree with you. We care only that you are showing you're doing your job. You raised an issue. You have anchored it well in some kind of environment where we can appreciate the points that you're trying to make. And please tell us where it is you're going with this and drive the point home. We will all be very proud when you do that. 888-874-4888 is the number to call and get us started. Who is going to be up first today? Oh, listen to you. You're so afraid. Why are you afraid? Come on, that's not like lead stories, listeners, to be afraid and to be reticent about being out in the public. We're seeing you with our ears, and we are listening to you more than anything else. This is important for you to be able to have that skill, that when you have something to say, you know how to command attention. You know how to make your point. You know how to even anticipate people's reaction to you. And you build into your argument your own defense. This is just what it is. Now, where else have you heard a program encouraging you to master the art of debating? No place. That's what we're not trying to waste your time, and we want you to acquire these skills. This is very, very good to do, because then you become unbeatable. You become a very difficult person to toy with. Nathaniel from Los Angeles, you're calling. You're on the air.
Good morning, Atrice, and the PRN audience, the greatest audience in the world.
Thank you.
And PRN, the greatest media company in the world.
Thank you.
I wanted to call to just say that's what I like. It's the only thing that I think has maintained me during these past 14 months of this, some commenters on PRN say, the covidiacy. Gary knows information and pointed view on science, real science, not commercialized, weaponized, and politicized science that they're giving to us from the major media corporate cesspool. So I just wanted to say thank you to all the hosts, and thank you to Gary Noel, and thank you to Utrecht Lead Program. You guys are super.
Well, thank you. But you didn't present us an argument at all.
Let's see. Well.
Well, we forgive you. It's okay.
Yes.
It's your first time out. That. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You'll get more used to it, and you'll get better at it. It's really, really important.
I think I'm afraid to put out my real arguments because they might be too controversial. But I'm going to get there one day.
All right. Let's hope it would be next week. All right. Thank you, Nathaniel. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Yes, and strong recovery. You are such a trooper. It's unbelievable. And you give us all strength, you know. Really, you do. It's amazing. Well, I appreciate you very much. Today I'd like to talk about the disclosure of UFOs by the Pentagon. And I think that there's a reason for it. Up until now, there's been more money in hiding the secrets because flying saucers reported by the Pentagon's by the Air Force's pilots and the Navy's pilots, they don't use fossil fuels to run their ships. So if we knew that, then that would be it for the fossil fuel industry. They want to hide it. I think religion, you know, they have their sacred books, and this would upset the whole cart. They don't want it. Politicians don't want it because they want you to think they're in control. And the armed forces don't want it because they also want you to think that they're protecting us. But it turns out that I think now times have changed, that the Pentagon actually is looking for new budgets. President Trump created the Space Force, and we're coming up with, we're going out to the moon, we're going out to Mars. So I think that the Pentagon sees the future in space. And it turns out that a lot of these space vehicles, they've shown up over nuclear plants, over our military bases, ships, and so on. And this is like they've defied the area of protection, so to speak. So they are seen as the potential enemy now, and I think that it's in the Pentagon's favor to say, okay, here's the films, here's the pictures. It's true. We were hiding it before because we were protecting you, but it's all true. And now, give us the money. Give us the money so that we can build spaceships. We can build the space force. And these are the potential enemies. But I don't think they are the potential enemies, because I think they could have gotten rid of us long time ago. And as my thing is that we're taking baby steps into the universe, where we'll meet up with other life and highly intelligent life, it seems, and we'll become part of the intergalactic system. So this is what I think is happening now. It's all about the money, and the military-industrial complex wants the money to go into space. So in order to justify having an enemy, they're saying, okay, we're going to tell you the truth now. Here are the pictures, and it's all true, and so we're coming closer to meeting the true other, and once we do that, then maybe we'll change our opinion about each other. So I see it as a good thing.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your opinion today. Wayne from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht.
Good afternoon, Wayne.
And to all your beautiful, educated listeners.
Thank you.
I gotta leave myself out from that. But anyway... I want to deal with this thing about a need for revolution. I'll start with colonial settlers. We have colonial settlements still today and expanding, supported by one another. But we look at countries like the great old US of A colonial settlement, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the one at the forefront today.
Let me just interrupt you for one second. There's something on in the background, in the room where you're in, and we're hearing it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I was listening on the phone. All right. Is it off now? Are we okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
All right, thanks.
Our undivided attention.
Oh, just what I need. Now, all these colonial settlements in Israel or Palestine today, we see it ongoing because that's the one most visible. And the world is quiet about it. I mean, it is so blatant what is happening there as compared to the history of this country or any other colonial settler country. And we, as the people oppressed or the ones suffering, we're not getting together. I mean, thanks to COVID, everybody's scared to be even close to one another right now. The pandemic
works. It's still on, and it's very distracting.
Wow.
Somebody's speaking or something is on.
We lost Wayne.
Okay, we will have to move on. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, you three. How are you?
Okay, Ed, what's going on? What's your theme today?
Well, I believe you know my theme. I mean, I'm still questioning the lack of questioning as opposed to this vaccination program that's going on and how it's affecting the virus. I've never seen a situation where people unquestioningly allow this government and big pharmaceutical companies to inject you with something, number one, that is not technically a vaccine, which is more of a gene therapy. Number two, how many people that are in power, for want of a better word, in this situation, and how their involvement, specifically Dr. Fauci and another individual by the name of Dr. Danziger, how their involvement in gain-of-function research, which was put under a moratorium in 2017 in this country and caused it to be moved to other countries like China, their involvement in it, their sponsoring of it, and how closely this gain-of-function research ties in with the development of this virus. And nobody in the media has taken up this thing. Very few individuals in the media have taken up this thing. There was an article that I read last week by, I believe his name is Nicholas Wade. It's a 30-page article, pretty deep, but I like factual things and I like scientific things. He's a heavyweight scientific reporter. He's worked for the New York Times. He's worked for Time Magazine. He's also won, I believe, a Pulitzer Prize for one of the scientific reports. And he brings up the fact that this disease has several scientific virological markers that promote the fact that it might have been developed in a lab and it might have escaped, which is not unusual because over time, many diseases that are being experimented with, many viruses that are being experimented with, have escaped from labs. It happened in England, smallpox in 1972. I believe they were experimenting with a smallpox virus and it killed 60 people in England. There were other incidences in the United States at the Maryland lab where some viruses escaped. And the possibility that this SARS-2, COVID-19, escaped from a lab in Wuhan, China, and the backers of it was Dr. Fauci and Dr. Danzig because they had a contract to do what is called gain-of-function research that might have promoted or even created this virus, and it accidentally escaped. And now we're in a state where we're getting half information, we're getting, I believe, misled, and we're being subject to a worldwide experiment. And I believe that people are acting off of fear, like I said before. When you act off of fear, you don't use logic, and you don't make good decisions. Numbers have been conflated. Death rates have been exaggerated, especially in the beginning. anyone that died from anything, and they were in the hospital, they tested positive for COVID. They were booked as dying with COVID. And I just believe that there's something going on here, and no one has the journalistic chops to really take it apart. And no one wants to be thought of as a heretic or a quack or a conspiracy theorist. And that's why we're not getting the questions asked that should be asked at this time and need to be asked so we can move safely into the future.
Could you identify one of those questions?
Where did this virus actually come from? And how come, like with other viruses that quote unquote evolved in the wild, that this virus doesn't share any of those circumstances? For example, with MRSA and with the avian flu, there was a precursor organism, an animal that the virus jumped from birds to chickens to humans. In MRSA, it was from, I believe it was from a certain bat to a certain type of camel to humans. They haven't found that animal, that precursor animal that allows the disease to incubate and make the jump. In this outbreak, quote unquote, they haven't found the animal yet, and they've been searching for allegedly 15 months. That's just one thing. There were other treatments that were effective. Even Crazy Man talked about hydroxychloroquine. There was some success with that, and there were other treatments, different holistic treatments that were effective, but they were immediately poo-pooed. How come we've got to take this shot? And now we're going to have to take boosters, according to the great Dr. Fauci. Any other vaccine I've heard of, your immunity lasts. This immunity is going to be next year. You got to take a booster shot. I'm very suspicious of this government, and I'm very suspicious of capitalist business. And there's, like I said last week, there's a lot of money being made here. There's a potential for a lot of money to be made. And when you've got that much greed, when you've got that much temptation, I doubt their veracity, and I doubt their sincerity.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for your opinion today. Thank you. Vincent from New York, you're on the air. At 888-874-4888, it's Free Your Mind Friday. What are you freeing your mind of today?
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
If I have the date correct, today, May 21st, the year might have been 1997, just to start. It was the suspension of Attorney at War, the original Attorney at War, Alton H. Maddox Jr., who needs to be reinstated in all jurisdictions that he was when he had his license acknowledged. Because ever since that time, on this day, if the day is correct, he was repeatedly suspended. And I don't even think he was given a hearing. He was suspended back to back just automatically, which it amounted to not a disbarment, but a debarment, as some attorneys understand it to be, a debarment. On this day, U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch was born in 1959, to my understanding. But we must also look at the change in complexion in media as we see it on so-called major media, as well as gender identity. Those that I'm starting to
Vincent,
see.
I want you to stop for a second.
Sure.
You've jumped all over the place already, and you have barely started. So,
being as jumping all over the place, because I was going to bring it all together.
Yeah, but it would take time. What are you bringing our attention to?
The day that we're on right now, May 21st, and media, as we see it and know it today in history. All right. May I continue?
Give it another shot, because it is very scattered and we don't know where you're going. We don't know the point you're making.
Well, I'll tell you the point and leave it at that.
No, because what we want to do is we don't want you to hold us hostage until you decide to tell us what the point is. You should by now, in the course of your presentation, you should have identified where you're going. So we'll be sticking with you, but we don't know where you go.
Well, I thought it was obvious dealing with this day in history, May 21st, 2021. I'm dealing with bringing your attention to this day in history and where we are at from media perspectives. May I continue? And I'll wrap it up within about 30 seconds.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
All right. So as we pay attention to major media as we know it, we're starting to see elimination of darkness in appearance and the lightening of complexion and the push and pull away from majority male presence in media and the control of that media looking lighter, whiter, and feminine.
Well, Vincent, I think you bit off more than you could chew, and or more than you can prove, or more than you can lay out in a logical way for us to hang in here with you. It's very scary. And we don't know ultimately where you are ending up. And do we wait until you reveal, you give the great reveal, because so far we're not clear as to where you're going.
Okay.
So do you want to rethink this and come back and present it again with the notation that when you start, we should be clear about where you're going? You have to make that clear to us. So we are listening for it. And we're listening to the components that you present in order for ourselves to make the connections as you go along. So far, it's not happening.
Well, I'm disappointed that you see it that way.
No, don't be disappointed.
This is your broadcast, that way. But I just tried to...
But don't be disappointed.
I don't want to cut you off. I can't hear you.
Don't be disappointed. Because it has nothing to do with me, or in fact, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with the business of organizing an argument. So it's neither you personally nor is it me personally. It's about how you're formulating your argument. And what is that argument supposed to be? Because we're listening, but we're not hearing it. So you want to develop your line of reasoning so that when, in fact, you do come to your argument, the meat of it, and as you head toward the end of it, we can say, oh, I see where he was going all along. But so far, you're just presenting a list, and it is not clear to us listening what the significance of this list is.
Well,
and to say, you're talking about this day in history, all these things, of course, to you, they have significance, but you haven't introduced why this day is particularly noteworthy for its history. You haven't said that yet.
Well, I was still speaking when I was saying that I was disappointed, because what I was about to say was trying to differentiate how you wanted to go about with this Free Your Mind Friday for this day. But I was laying out and bringing together all the points and laid out pretty much what I was going to all in detail within the short period of time I was given for this Free Your Mind Friday.
Okay.
What it would come down to.
I admire the fact that you gave it a good try. All I'm saying is you have to go back to it and refine it. So we don't have all day. You have a short period of time in which to make your point. And in making your point, we should be clear about what your intention is. Why are you bringing these different examples up and seemingly unconnected? So you have that piece of work to do in your presentation, which is to connect them for us. That's not for us to do. That's for you to do. So that when you get into the meat of it, we are following along. We are with you. But it's very distorted and it's very disconnected. You know what you want to say because it's in your head. We're not getting that. We're not getting what's in your head.
Well, I believe that from what you're saying, you pretty much do understand what I am saying, but it's just that the format, the way that you're conducting it on this Free Your Mind Friday has taken a different course of direction, of openness. So
I don't understand.
What'd you say?
I don't understand that. The onus is on you. You're the presenter. And we shouldn't have to be questioning where it is you're going. From the beginning, you should tell us what it is you're about to show us or to demonstrate. And so we travel along with you. But you just get going and you make a statement here, and then you make another statement and another statement, which seemingly have no connection. So
because I think when you interjected, and you must also remember that I came after at least two or three other people who freed their mind. I came after
Don't
Ed.
Don't worry about that. Everything is a standalone issue. Everything stands on its own. So don't take it personally. I'm pointing out to you where the weakness in your argument is, and that is you've recited a couple of things that you haven't knitted together. You haven't put them together in a way that makes sense to us as we listen to you. So you may want to take a look at that.
May I continue, or do you want me to wrap it up?
I think you should wrap it up, because you would give us more of the same, and that's the whole point. Where are you going?
No. Go ahead. It's
how
that,
you are laying that out your argument is going to be confusing, even for you. It's going to be confusing to communicate to us that there is a reason. There are several commonalities here, and we're not getting that yet. And you're making us wait. And for what? What are we waiting for? We want to know. We should have known that right up front. You see? So when you introduce a new example, you say, oh, this is something else that you're going to put into the mix, but it's not working. And I don't say that in a pejorative way at all. I'm saying, giving you a clear-cut reaction to it. So you, if you want to, you can work on it and come right back next Friday.
Well, what I was going to just end with was that, like I had said in part, that it seems like you've taken this Free Your Mind Friday in a slightly different direction. And since you're referring to these, or at least my openness on Free Your Mind Friday as setting the basis for an argument and structuring.
See, you just said something I don't understand at all.
Okay,
and I'm pretty good at understanding what people say, but I didn't get that.
No, I understand. That's why I have wanted to continue on, because I did hear you say that once, that you didn't
understand. All right, let's get very, very succinct about this. The way you are going about making your argument is confusing to us. We don't know where you're going. We want to know where you're going. We want to stick with you as you go, because we want to see you bring it all together in a fine, glorious end. But it's not going to happen that way, not the way you're going. What I would suggest you do is take a look again at how you bring your points together. You should be very clear to anybody listening to you what you are doing. It's like if you're driving a car and people are in the car with you, but we have no idea where you're going. That is very disconcerting. So you have to be a bit predictable, in a sense. You have to tell us what you're about to tell us and why, and bring it all together. It's not very hard to do. But I think where you got caught today is that you overloaded. You have way too much information for the time allotted for you to share it. So it sounds crowded, and we don't know which are the important things and which are not. What should we be paying attention to, and what shouldn't we be paying attention to? What, from your perspective as a speaker, what is the point that you're trying to make? Because we're not getting that either. Okay? Don't be disappointed. Don't be disappointed.
No.
You're among friends.
Like I said, it seems as though the format has changed. I respect what you're trying to interject. But let me hear from the other callers on their opinion of our little dialogue to the world.
But listen, now, you see, you just went in a whole other direction. And I have to upbraid you on that one. You don't have to hear from the other callers. I am telling you. That's all you need to hear. This is not a forum where you now take over and you redirect the energy outside of me. You see that right there? That was a big boo-boo right there. You're speaking to somebody who has been in this business for more than 50 years. Do you understand that? Who has taught people how to do journalism. So when I tell you something that should be enough, you don't have the power or the authority or the permission to redirect energy on this program. You don't. I am telling you what your problem is. That should be enough. And let's leave it at that. Okay, Wayne, you're back. You're on the air. Wayne, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay.
Hello?
Let's hear from you now.
Oh, as I said, that was a great lesson. I feel it at the feet of one of our great teachers from way back in time. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, what I was saying with the colonial settlements and why we need full-fledged revolution. We have all these countries today representing colonial settlements, and the one to the forefront, like I keep saying, is Israel. What is going on is, we could say it's genocide, but then it's part of the ongoing plan that they had worked out for ever so long. Like Dr. Clark said, they said that as we don't mind, we who rule the world as long as it's one of us. They keep one another in power all over. We, like a city oppressed people, we go along. We try to use the avenues open. The World Court, yes, country struggling, you go to the World Bank. Like this situation, this pandemic, we go to the WHO. All of these, the W in all of these represent white, and we left out in all cases. Well, we are the victims in every one of them. Unless we look outside of these boxes that they set up for us. Right? We have this epidemic, this so-called epidemic, which is a plandemic. We look at Africa, right? Sorry to follow the previous caller, but the one president that came out...
You're heading in that direction, too.
Yes. No, but what I want to show you is the reach of the colonial settlers.
Turn your steering wheel in the direction it ought to go.
Right. Okay. Beep, back to power. So, we have these avenues they open for us to get resolution, as they say. None of them ever work for us, and at the current rate, they wouldn't work. We in this country here have the Constitution, and you have the laws, and you have the courts, but we know all of them are set up for one aim, to keep the system as it is. But yet we try to think that we could do it differently. No. Revolution, all-out revolution to change these things, start. The foundation of it is education. Like I told you before, your program is one of the best avenues so far in bringing this out. That lesson you gave us earlier on, it was great, especially with me looking at the great debaters for the week. That was good. Thank you for that. But unless we change the way we think, we had to get back to basic education. And how could that be done? Like the elders telling us for a long, long, long time. We had to educate ourselves. We can't leave it up to the schools because we know what they've been doing. And when we get together in that way, we could provide jobs for one another. We could provide a revolution. It don't have to be bloody, but we had to be prepared if it go in that direction.
Okay. Well, thank you for your contribution today. Thanks so much.
Thank you
Brother
for putting
David
up with me and all the...
Thank you. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. What's on my mind today that I want to talk about is essentially one thing. And that is, I am noticing the brilliance of the ruling class that runs this country, and how they have used their propaganda means to rule the people. They are just fantastic. And I say this because I've been talking to quite a few people who have attended, let's say, the most elite institutions in the country and Europe, and some of them don't have a clue of what's going on. So even among the so-called best and brightest, the ruling class has closed the minds of some of those people. I can't believe that someone walking around with the highest degrees will shut their mind completely to finding out something different than what the ruling class wants you to do about this so-called COVID-19 virus, and will shut off any information that is not in harmony with the ruling class, with what the ruling class wants you to think and believe and do the things that the ruling class wants you to do, which is do nothing, wait for a vaccine, and if you get sick enough, go to a hospital and get on the ventilator. So the ruling class, that's what's on my mind, how brilliant they are, and all their sources of information, written newspapers, the magazines, the television, the radio, and they are brilliant in enriching themselves each and every day.
Thank you. Thanks for your contribution today. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air, but you don't have too much time.
Okay, greetings, Yatrice. I wanted to talk briefly about earlier, I think it was this week, you talked about the TV reporters in reporting on the tragedy going on in India in relation to COVID-19. Okay, I'm thinking the fact that they did not have any non-white reporters, I think that's an example of the system of racism, white supremacy in operation. Back in April, when President Biden did his talk before Congress, he happened to mention, among other things, that the International Monetary Fund is now estimating that our economy will grow at the rate of 6% this year. This will be the fastest pace of economic growth in this country in nearly 4 years, end of quote. That was what Biden said back in April. Okay. Now, the International Monetary Fund also happens to say that the People's Republic of China, GDP, gross domestic, they're going to grow by 8.4%. However, India, was according to the IMF, was going to grow by 12.5%. And I'm thinking that sometimes in the system of white supremacy, the white supremacist mindset has to feel superior, has to feel like we're superior. So I'm thinking there's some connection with India's growth of 12.5 and the U.S. growth of 6.4. That's not exactly a superior position for the U.S., if you're going to use that as a measure. But I'm thinking that there was some kind of need to have that role of have that supreme role. In the reporting, there's some kind of connection. I apologize that I haven't thought it all the way through yet, but
you're off to a good start.
Yeah, there's some kind of connection. And if I could jump to another subject right quick, in terms of voting for the lesser of two evils, a couple of days ago, President Joe Biden was in Dearborn, Michigan, at the Ford plant test driving Ford vehicles. And he was in conversation with some of the reporters, and one of the reporters asked President Biden to make a comment about the Israeli-Palestine episode that was going on. And I'm paraphrasing, but he told that reporter that no, you wouldn't answer that question unless she stepped in front of the car that he was getting ready to drive, And but then he immediately said, I'm just kidding. So that made me think about, I'm still thinking about that to a degree. Now, that's something that Donald Trump may or may not consider saying, but for the president to joke like that, I just found that interesting.
He gave you another hint, and you didn't catch on. You missed it. The hint was Israel and, finish it off. Israel and
Palestine. Israel and
no. You see, this has been said. They say Israel and Hamas. There is never a reference to Palestine.
Oh.
Got it?
Okay, Israel and Hamas. There's never a reference to Palestine.
That's right. One is a bona fide, declared, and protected state. The other is a bunch of guys running around with guns and blowing things up.
Oh. Hmm.
Did it occur to you that
no.
Why is everybody saying Israel and Hamas?
No, that hadn't occurred to me, no. Hmm.
Well, this is how media works and shapes everybody's mind. Israel and Hamas. There is no place called Hamas.
Right.
There's no nation called Hamas.
Mm-mm. Now I'm reminded of something else, too, about the system of racism, white supremacy, how it uses language and words to deceive.
But we all say it. Israel and Palestine. There is no such thing. They don't recognize Palestine. That's the whole point. They have Israel, a well-ordered society.
Apartheid society.
Run by constitution and so forth. And all it's trying to do is to protect itself from Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thank you all for calling in and contributing today. And we will continue this. This was a good session, believe it or not, even though there may be feelings of, oh, you gave me a rough time. You will get so good at making your points in public, people will be afraid of you. They hear your name and they run for the doors because you won't be easy to contend with. And that's the ultimate goal here, that we are thinking people, we have something important to say, and most importantly, we know how to say it. It is the weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring good things into your life, and hopefully you do the same for theirs. And have a little bit of joy, have a little bit of fun, and we will see each other on the radio on Monday. Bye-bye.